Hey there, it's Dave Hompes here once again. We're talking about why we eat food and trying to dig a little bit deeper into the reasons why food is so important so that we actually really feel it and understand it rather than just giving it lip service in amongst all the barrage of information that we're getting these days from people telling us how important food actually is. I think personally it's really important for us all to just take a step back and think about the reasons a little bit more deeply so that they don't just become cliched and so that they don't just bounce off us. And so the second reason why I feel it's very important to eat food is energy production. We spoke last time about how every cell in our body is made from the food that we eat combined with the water that we drink and the air that we breathe. But that's not the only reason we eat food. So that concept of you are what you eat only really scratches the surface. Your food and the water that you drink, and again, the oxygen and what have you that you breathe in to a large degree, becomes fuel. We did talk about the building blocks, but the fuel issue is massively, massively important. So if you have a car, your car is made from metal, it's made from rubber in the tires, you know, it's made from plastics, upholstery and what have you. That's a little bit like the building blocks that we talked about last time. But in order for your car to go somewhere, you've got to put fuel in it. The fuel has to be the right fuel and it has to be decent quality. So if you imagine for a moment that you are a car, your cells, your tissues, and your organs are the structural components of that car. Unless you put fuel in there, doesn't matter whether it's diesel, doesn't matter whether it's petrol, doesn't matter whether it's any other form of fuel, the electric cars, of course, that people like Elon Musk have are designing and trying to get into everyday life. They don't run on petrol or diesel, but it doesn't matter what the fuel is. The analogy is the same. We have to put fuel in our bodies in order for the body to actually do something. Now, there are nutrients that we call macronutrients. And the macronutrients help us build our bodies, but at the same time, they become the fuel that we use as well. And the macronutrients are proteins, fats and oils, and carbohydrates. And when we eat those foods, through a series of chemical reactions, we burn them, we combust them or oxidize them, and they become energy. Now, protein, as you can see in the pink little diagram here, contains about 4 calories per gram. And a calorie is nothing more than a unit of energy that we get when we actually burn a gram of that substance. So protein, when you burn it, when you combust it or oxidize it, you get about 4 calories per gram of energy. With fat, you get 9 calories per gram. And with carbohydrates, you get, again, as you do with protein, about 4 calories per gram as well. So these foods and the combination of these foods when we eat them are ultra, ultra important for giving us energy to help us feel good. Everything in our body depends on energy. So it doesn't matter whether it's the heart beating, the lungs expanding when you breathe, your exercise, thinking, etc. All requires energy. Now, just to fill in the gaps here, we also have micronutrients. And micronutrients are a little bit like the nuts and the bolts in your engine. So if you can imagine that you need everything to be attached together. So things like the pistons, the carburetor, the radiator, all these different parts of your engine and what have you, they all have to be attached together. And so the micronutrients are a little bit like the nuts and bolts. They are things like vitamins, the B vitamins, and then your fat-soluble vitamins like A, D, E, and K. Coenzyme Q10 is really important in there as well. And then you have obviously your minerals such as iron and magnesium and calcium and sodium, potassium, copper, selenium and things. Zinc as well. These are all really, really important micronutrients, and you do need these as well. So your macronutrients are the fuels, but then you need the micronutrients in order to combust, in order to burn those macronutrients. So you need all of them. And a deficiency in any of these nutrients from poor food choices, poor nutritional choices in general, can leave you very, very low on energy. This is important because energy drives everything in life. Now, if you were to take a look inside one of your cells, it doesn't matter whether it's a skin cell or a muscle cell or a liver cell or whatever, you're going to find a whole bunch of different what we call organelles. So just as our body as a whole has lots of different organs, the cell, the individual cell, has lots of different organelles, and they're just like miniature organs. Now, there are some organs called mitochondria. The singular is mitochondrion, and the plural is mitochondria. And all our cells pretty much have mitochondria. Heart cells, which need to be beating constantly, have lots and lots of mitochondria in them. Some of our cells may only have one mitochondrion in there. But the bottom line is that it's the mitochondria that drive our energy production. They're like the little engines in our cars. They produce the energy by which everything happens. So we have to have really good nutritional status, and we have to have really good mitochondrial health in order to make our energy. And it's in the mitochondria that we have the majority of our energy production when things are working properly. This is a very, very quick synopsis of the energy production process. And the really important thing, not to understand this in huge amounts of detail, is just to read it down in general from top to bottom. Because what you can see is that you have your fats, your carbohydrates and proteins at the top. They're your macronutrients. And they get broken down through digestion and then through processes in the body into their individual parts. Things like fatty acids, glycerol and cholesterol, glucose and other sugars, and amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins. And then, through various chemical reactions, these substances are broken down using nutrients like carnitine, B vitamins, particularly B1, 2, 3, and 5, and then something called lipoate or lipoic acid as well. And we end up with a substance halfway down called acetyl-CoA. The acetyl-CoA then goes into the mitochondria that we just spoke about, into the cell engines. A little bit like a fuel injection system, taking the car's fuel from the fuel tank into the engine. And the mitochondria in this case would be the engine, where all the energy production happens. And you can see a really complex cycle called the citric acid cycle. And it has lots of fancy chemical names. But in order for that cycle to spin around and spit out energy, you need lots of nutrients again. So in the little bluey grey boxes and in the green boxes, they are all the different nutrients that you need, whether they are vitamins, whether they are minerals, or whether they are amino acids. And you need about 25 different nutrients to make all of this work properly. Guess where the nutrients come from? The food that you eat. So if you don't get optimal food intake, you're not going to have optimal energy. And if you don't have optimal energy, right there is the start of all disease processes. If you do not have enough energy production in your body, that's how disease sets in. So if you're feeling tired, you got to really start doing something about it, because low levels of energy on a day-to-day basis are a really early warning sign for you to take note of that things aren't working properly. Now, the unit of energy that we have in our bodies is called ATP, which actually stands for adenosine triphosphate. You don't really need to know the term, but we got to make ATP as efficiently as possible in order to not only function well, but just to feel good in ourselves as well. Because as I said a few moments ago, we need energy, we need ATP to keep our heart beating, for breathing, for muscle contraction when we're walking around or doing exercise, for digesting our food, for thinking, for talking, for growth and repair. Everything that goes on in our body depends on energy. So if it's not working properly, we're in trouble. So if we have faulty energy production, it generally comes from poor dietary choices. So this is where we go back to the title of this presentation. This is basically part two of why we need food. If we don't get the right food, our energy production declines. And that happens because we choose the wrong foods. We don't get the right balance of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. We all need a unique combination of those nutrients. Some people do really well when they have more fat and protein. Other people do a lot better when they have more carbohydrate in their diet. In my membership program, I teach you how to fine-tune your dietary choices in this regard. Get your fat, protein, and carbohydrates optimized for you as an individual. Skipping meals is a huge one. How many people skip meals? I've worked with clients who don't eat until 5 p.m. every day and then wonder why they're feeling tired. Nutritional deficiencies develop if we don't choose optimal foods, and that will really affect our energy production. We need magnesium. We need lots of amino acids from proteins. We need coenzyme Q10. We need lots of B vitamins. We need nearly all of them for energy production. So if we don't have enough of those nutrients, and trust me, when I do all my functional lab testing with clients, when we're working with people one-to-one, we can pinpoint and regularly do multiple nutritional deficiencies. It is very rare indeed for somebody to come back with nutritional deficiencies, without nutritional deficiencies, should I say. And then another really important reason for faulty energy production is that we just don't have optimal digestion. If we eat really good foods but we can't digest them properly, it means we're not going to get these important energy producing nutrients into our body, and that can leave us feeling tired as well. And faulty energy production, as I've said, is one of the most important factors in the aging and disease process. So it's very, very important that we get our food choices and our digestion optimized. Now, obviously, if you have faulty energy production, there are certain symptoms that you're probably going to feel creeping into your life on a day-to-day basis. Chronic fatigue syndrome is the other end of the spectrum. It's when things have gotten really bad. But there's a spectrum of energy crisis, if you like. Energy slumps during the day, just not quite being able to wake up in the morning or needing coffee to get going. Those kinds of things. They're the early warning signs. And if you leave them over years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, that can lead to really significant problems. It can lead to depression. It can lead to chronic pain in the body. Chronic pain in the body, such as fibromyalgia, is an energy crisis. Anxiety, panic attacks, diarrhea and irritable bowel syndrome are very, very closely associated with energy problems as well. And so I guess what I'm trying to say there is, if you have faulty energy production, virtually any symptom can begin to creep into your life if you're not careful, because energy drives everything. So I want to ask you some questions. Do you consider your body to be more like a purring Ferrari or an old banger? And if so, you know, what do you want to put in there? Your body's far more beautiful and complex than a Ferrari will ever be. A Ferrari is child's play compared to the engineering of a human body. The human body is the most amazing complex thing we know of in the universe. So why would we want to put low-grade fuel in it? Why would we want to abuse it by eating crap quality foods? Now, I understand that we're not really taught at school about what to eat, how to eat. And if our parents weren't taught, they're probably not going to teach us either. I know mine didn't really teach me. It's not their fault. They were never taught at school how to eat well and construct really good quality balanced meals. But if we want to be healthy on an individual basis, and we want to make our societies healthy and the world more healthy, we got to start to choose fuels, choose the right foods that are going to keep us healthy on an individual basis to begin with. So, in the previous presentation, we talked about how food is essential for building every cell in our body, how our cells are constantly being broken down and rebuilt, and how by choosing really good quality foods, we can actually help our body heal. Well, we also need food for energy. And without energy, we can't heal, we can't feel good, and we can't perform at our best. But there's another reason why we eat food. And the third and final reason is all about genetic expression. And that's going to be the topic of the third presentation and final presentation in this series. So I hope you've enjoyed the two presentations so far. I'm looking forward to catching you next time. And we're going to talk about how food can literally alter the way our genes express themselves and really who we are at the end of the day. My name is Dave Fompez. I will catch you soon.